Rev it up and welcome to Cars Yeah, show number 2483. Today, we are taking a very cool two-wheeled ride with a bespoke motorcycle builder that creates, well, best way I can describe it is they are works of art on wheels. These things are incredible. Be prepared to be inspired.
This is Cars Yeah, where you'll enjoy interviews with inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Mark Green is here to provide you with a fuel injection of automotive inspiration. So get in, sit down, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride here on Cars Yeah.
Hello, inspiring automotive enthusiasts, and welcome to Cars Yeah. Today I'm in South Jersey with a very special guest by the name of Ransom. All right, now I've got your inspiration up. Ransom, welcome to Cars Yeah. Do you have it in gear, and are you ready to release the clutch?
In gear, the two-step is set, and I'm ready for green.
All right, I love it. We're going to have some fun today because even though this is Cars Yeah, I have a motto here. If it rolls on rubber, I love it. Had many people on the show who are in the motorcycle world, which is where you live. So I want to give you a proper introduction, but before I do, I always ask this icebreaker question. What's one little thing about you, Ransom, that most people don't know?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I have a very private life, so that could be any number of things. Let's see. My favorite color is black. I don't know.
Your favorite color is black. Now, some people would say black is the holder of all colors, or it is a no color.
Yes, absence of none.
Absence of none. Yeah, very interesting. Has that been the case for you for your entire life?
No. When I was a child, it was red.
Oh, cool. Okay, there we go. So let's just say you've grown a bit and expanded, and it'll add a little bit of mystery to who you are and what you're doing. Although, no mystery to what we're going to be sharing today about these insane, spectacular builds that you do. I'm so excited to talk to you. So
you're
welcome. Let me give you a proper introduction. A W. Robert Ransom is a master craftsman of bespoke motorcycles, revered for his unparalleled dedication and visionary creations. With over 25 years in the motorcycle industry, his journey began at the age of 19 in an entrepreneurial journey by establishing his own motorcycle service shop, and that was a move that catalyzed his destiny. A deep dive into the intricacies of artistry, craftsmanship, mechanics, and an unwavering thirst for knowledge, Ransom perfected his art beyond motorcycle service. Boy, did he. This thirst opened a new chapter in pioneering the creation of an exclusive and opulent brand, blending an old-world craftsmanship with cutting-edge technology. And today, each Ransom motorcycle bears his name, his signature, as a testament to his unwavering pursuit of perfection. We're going to have some fun. But first, a word from our sponsors, so let's give them a little love. Buckle up. Because you don't buckle up. Put your helmet on, put your leathers on, put your gloves on. We will be right back. It's going to be a fun ride. Are you ready to take charge of your financial future? Then let me introduce you to Capitalize Your Finances. It's an online course designed to empower you with the knowledge and tools for mastering your money. This course will help you lay out the ins and outs of budgeting, the importance of emergency funds, investing strategies, and how to plan for a secure retirement. All this presented by financial planner Chris Paniotu. Chris has developed this course to help you effectively navigate your world of finance with confidence. Stop stressing about money and start taking control. Enroll in Capitalize Your Finance online course today and pave your way to financial success. To learn more, go to capitalizepodcast.com/courses. Or better yet, go to the Cars Yeah website, show notes page for today's show, and click on the link under Capitalize Your Finances. You'll be glad you did. Do it today. Hey, guess what? Some of you regular listeners will remember back in 2019, I created 10-11 shows called Cars Yeah TV, where I went to some fabulous locations of past Cars Yeah guests, and we did a TV show about it. Well, they're up on the Cars Yeah YouTube channel. So go check it out at YouTube. Just type in Cars Yeah, and the shows will be there for you to enjoy. I hope you have fun watching. For several years now, you've heard me talk about Linkage Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the start. They're talented and creative team brings you a spectacular publication and website that shares the automotive passion from a worldwide perspective. Linkages about driving, restoring, collecting, and firsthand experience at collector car auctions and more. They bring you real-world values plus rational, experienced opinions on the current markets. They cover the automotive world and the people who share our passions. And Linkage Magazine has grown, mailing you 6 issues annually. Join me on this journey with Linkage. They're geared for the automotive life. You can subscribe at linkagemag.com. So, Ransom, I want to go back in time before we talk about what you're doing today to talk a little bit more about what brought you to this point in your career and your business. Because what you're doing, and there's a lot of builders I've had on the show, creators of different things, custom build cars, motorcycles. But when I saw, well, the first bike, and then I looked at all your other bikes and went, oh my gosh, I got to talk to this guy because there's something very deep behind the creative mind here. So can you take us back in time a little bit as you migrated into your service shop, and then what inspired you to take it to an entirely different level?
Well, I was, like you said, in a service shop for about 5 years, and it was a very small service shop. And at the time, I started getting into customizing, you know, sport bikes and things of that nature. It was really big at that time, which is right around 2002, 2003. And the service shop was small. I was a young kid, didn't have a whole lot of business savvy at that point, and didn't really see a way to move forward and grow. And I was, believe it or not, I was in prayer about it one night, and I got this vision and of this new concept, and just had to set out and do this thing. And it, the rest is, you know, kind of history. It's been an exercise in self-discipline, self-mastery for 20 years now.
You know, this is a really interesting story to me, and I'll tell you why. I've had many, many fabricators, builders, people that have shops from cars to bikes on this show. And one of the main challenges, and we'll be talking about challenges a little later in our conversation, is how to scale the business, how to take it from the guy who does the work to more than that. And the business side of running any business sometimes kind of causes a challenge for people that are artists, craftsmen. I've had a lot of artists on the show, photographers. You say you had this vision. I would take it you're a religious person. You said you were in prayer. What was it that came into your head? Was it something that opened up like a flower blossoming? Or what was that experience like? I'd like to go a little deeper with that.
Well, it was just a flash of a new concept, a new shape, a new thing based around a modern sport bike engine. So it was just that. And at that point, I had no idea how. I had never designed or engineered a chassis. I had never, you know, designed or metal shaped sheet metal. Never made fuel tank. Never made exhaust. I had just done the customization thing that was being done at the time, which was, you know, paint and powder coat and chroming and polishing and things of that nature. And this was like a whole, like, how in the world am I going to do this?
Okay. Well, that begs the question, what was the next step? How did you migrate to that next? That's a very bold, brave move.
I started reading as many books as I possibly could on welding and fabrication and sheet metal shaping. And over the course of 7 months, I taught myself the craft. And at times it was really weird because at times I didn't really know why I was doing certain things. It was just from the knowledge that I had learned, there was gaps in between what needed to be done. And for some reason, I just had this innate ability. I would say it's God-given. And I was just doing these things and it was working. And later, I was able to realize why and the science of it.
Wow. Well, this is fascinating to me because when I look at your bikes, and for you listeners, we'll put links to the website, but they're easy to find, ransommotorcycles.com. They'll take you there. These are works of art, and they're beyond works of art. I think that's an overused term. Many times we've all seen builders, and let's stick with motorbikes here, motorcycles, bikes, I call them, that people build, let's say, choppers. And they kind of get a little crazy and wild, and sometimes they get a little almost comical. And not, what I would say, they're not works of art. They're just, bling ads, I guess I would say. Maybe there's a better way for you to describe that. But what you're doing, in my mind, and I grew up in an artistic family. My dad was an architect, an artist. We went to a lot of museums. I studied art history in college. What you're doing is another level. So have you always had a skill set and be able to take what's in your mind and put it on paper? Because that's the first step when you're designing something like this. Were you an artist in a way, of a sketcher, a drawer?
Yeah, I have this thing that I do that when I was growing up, I think it bothered my family a lot. Like I would be sitting in a room, there would be, you know, my family around me or whatever, and I would go into these other zones in my mind where it's almost as if I was sitting in a room by myself inside of the work and inside of the creation that I was thinking about.
Oh wow.
And whatever was in front of me was in reality, I did not see. Like I had this ability to separate myself from that, you know, that situation or that reality almost, and go into this other world of creation and mechanics and all kinds of gizmos, and I could actually picture myself inside of it and see how it was fit together. And
oh my gosh,
just really, really bizarre. And yeah, but when you're in a social setting, sometimes, you know, it's unavoidable for that to happen for me. So it's very difficult to not injure relationships when somebody's telling you something so important in their life and you just zone out and you're in this other world. It just hits you. So I've since learned to control it a lot more in my adult life. But
yeah,
it was a little difficult back in the day.
Oh man, this is the visual that just went in my brain is a little documentary here. And maybe you've thought about doing that is to take what's going on in your head and do this. I see all these, like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but it's very fascinating to me. And I love how you shared that part of the story because it's very personal, which I appreciate you going there with that. And if nobody's ever been creative or it happens in music too, that they could understand what Ransom's saying here, stop and think about it sometime, or maybe find yourself in a state of meditation or introspection or whatever it might be to be able to allow your brain to do that. And it is a little freaky when I can do that sometimes. It's a little freaky when it happens. Like, whoa, what just happened? That was really strange. Well, it's fascinating to me. So let's talk about a bit about the motorcycles. And the first bike that caught my attention when I jumped on your website was Archangel. And the names you have for your bikes, let me start there. Archangel, Cain, Rain, Revolution, Eve, Abel, Velocity, Ishmael, Phoenix Rising. I mean, this all kind of makes sense now that you've explained this, what's going on in your head a little bit. Do you start with the drawing? Do you start with the concept of where you want to go? Do you start with the name? How does all this tie together?
There's really no formula for that part of it. Sometimes I see a concept or a design in my head. Sometimes I see lines and shapes that can be incorporated into more of a greater scale. And yeah, it could be just a name that inspires me, but usually I would say the creative vision first. And then I will, you know, if I can put it on paper, if not, I can sculpt a clay model and kind of get that. Cause I'm a sculptor more by trade than I am a sketch artist.
That makes sense. Okay. Now I'm starting to see. So, okay.
Yeah. Sketching is more difficult for me to do. It's where sculpting is just like breathing for me.
Ah, my dad, being an architect, designed a lot of homes, and he would many times sit down with a cardboard box and cut it up and start building his vision in a three-dimensional form before he even sketched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very, I understand that. Yeah. He used to push my sister and I to do those exercises. We worked in clay a lot and paper mache and things like that to get don't think about what you're doing. Just do it. And let's see where we go. And it was hard at first for me. I mentioned at the beginning, you build what we call bespoke bikes. So bikes designed one-offs, very specific. Do you at this point have clients that come to you and say, build me a bike, or is it the other way? Do you build a bike and then find a buyer for the bike?
It depends. So what I noticed early on in my career is every single bike that I would build, I would have people contacting me specifically for that motorcycle.
Okay.
It was rare that somebody came to me and said, Ransom, I want you to build me a new thing, something that's completely different, something that the world has never seen. So I became very careful about what work I released to control my creative direction. Because I can only build so many, you know, per year. I have my hands involved in every part of the process. So my time is only, you know, available so much. So I have to be careful that I'm not recreating the work that I did in the past and end up in this cycle where I'm not growing as an artist and growing as an artisan. So I'm very careful as to what work I release. So I haven't released all of the work that I've done. So, but yeah, most of the time people come to me, they're coming to me that they want what they've seen.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I want to talk a little, we could spend hours talking about each bike, and I would love to do that, but we don't have that time today. But I want to start with Archangel, because when I saw this bike, it just stopped me. And this may sound a little odd, but I wanted to take a bite out of it. I wanted to, okay, you get it. You're an artist. I wanted to absorb it.
That's that candy paint.
Well, yeah, you know, it goes back to my youth. My first cool bicycle was a Schwinn Stingray candy apple red. So
yeah,
kind of makes sense. Yeah. But and I love red. That's one of my colors of choice too. But this bike, the forms and flows of this bike. So I have to ask first though, being a past motorcycle rider, is it important to you that not only the bikes look insane, but they ride well too? Is that a part of the process?
It depends on why we're building it.
Okay.
So I do build just solely creative works where the focus is primarily on aesthetic and the performance is secondary. And there are also builds that I do that are just all out performance and the aesthetic is secondary. So yeah, it really depends on the on why we're doing this.
All right. That makes sense to me. So Archangel, let's, and for again, you listeners, you go to the website, and it might even be cool if you can while you're listening to this is go and look. You'll see it's the red bike that's featured on the main landing page there. I'll put links to it, but again, you can find it. You can either type in wrobertransom.com or Ransom Motorcycles on your search engine. This bike that you've done, it's like a, it reminds me of being in Utah, walking through the canyons that have been formed by water flowing. Yeah. So walk me through the process on this particular bike.
So in growing as a sculptor and an artist, I really want my designs and styles and bodywork to look like it was poured from a mold. So to take that metal that is absolutely rigid and make it look like it was flowed. So with this particular build, it was a rendition of an earlier bike that I had created for somebody that wanted me to create a new thing for him. And that bike was the Serpent. And so in order to understand the Archangel, you have to understand how we got there. And this gentleman was a hobbyist road racer. And he found that when he was on the street on his sport bikes, he was riding at unsafe speeds and he was trying to carve corners like he was on a track and it became dangerous. So he wanted me to create him a bike that was just as engaging as a race bike on the track would be, but at safe speeds on the street. So the reason that the Archangel and at that point the Serpent has a 300 millimeter tire, it has increased rake, is because that takes the body English required to keep it in turns, and it makes it so you have to have more body English, almost like you are going at a higher rate of speed on the track.
Oh,
so when
gotcha.
You go around a corner. So when you're going around a corner, the harder you accelerate, the more that bike wants to stand up and push you out. You have to hold the bike in. So it's the same thing when you start to increase the rear tire and increase the rake. So the bike is extremely engaging on the street at a safe level. So as opposed to a sport bike on the street, if you're not doing, 100 miles an hour, it's kind of boring. It kind of does everything you wanted to do without thinking about it.
Right.
So In creating that bike, which was a huge success for us, that and in the process of doing that, I got this vision in my mind of different lines and shapes and different aspects of it that I could put on into another build.
Okay. Obviously, it's a motorcycle, so a big part of a motorcycle is the power, the engine.
Yes.
So one of the series that you do is called the Velocity series, which, yeah, if I got it right, is basically an engine on a stand as a work of art. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yeah, I have a tendency to fill up my spare time with just soul art.
Spare time? Yeah, how do you do that?
At this point, it's rare, but yeah, I definitely make sure I have spare time to recoup.
So this idea came in from obviously part of your imagination of taking the power plant of a bike and making it even more than that. I'm looking at the image right now. I'm going, oh man, I'd love to have this sitting right here, my studio, right next to me. And then my brain went into a crazy place and said, how could you pipe through those pipes some sound systems and have music coming out of this engine? Which I actually had a guest on the show that did something like that. But
you could.
Yeah, yeah. It's really beautiful. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Well, as I said, you're welcome. It's got me fired up here. The other bikes, I'm going to let the listeners go on your website and see and learn about the other bikes, because we could have in-depth talks about every one of them. I'd love to talk a little bit about where, and we touched on this earlier, you did, about where your inspiration comes from. If I was to approach you and say, hey, Ransom, I want you to build me something, is it a collaboration or does it depend on the client? Where does this inspiration seep into your mind?
Yeah, it really depends on the client. So some clients want to be involved in the process all the way. They want to see what I usually do would be to show them design sketches and engineering and process pictures. Sometimes it's daily, sometimes it's weekly. And there's other clients that say, you know, build the bike and I trust your judgment, and you know, however it is, it is. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that's got to be, I have to ask you this, as having worked in the design field, sometimes when you're given full rein, and it's almost like having no budget if you're doing a home build or a resto mod or a race car, having no guide rails can be a stopper sometimes. How do you get past that as a creative person if someone says, just build me something? Do you let them get away with that, or is that fun for you?
Well, yeah, that's where I do my best work. So in speaking with the client, I have to get some type of idea of their personality, what their personal interests are, what kind of cars do they like, what kind of boats do they like. So I can kind of get an idea of what is going to, make them feel something, some type of way about the bike. But that's where I do my best work. If you just say, Ransom, make me something that is going to shock the world, then I'm going to fulfill that request and more.
Right.
So I've already had, like, actually when I was building the Serpent for my client, I was actually building a bike for his friend at the same time. Whereas his name was Richie that commissioned the Serpent. Richie says, he goes, I want you to build this bike, and this is what I think I like and think I want, and just go for it. And the other gentleman said, I want this shape like that, and I want this detail like this, and was trying to have more of a creative influence on it. And in the process of crafting this other guy's bike, we unveiled the Serpent. And I was standing next to the gentleman when we did this, and he said, "You mean to tell me I could have something like that?"
Uh oh.
He was still satisfied. He was satisfied with his bike, but he was blown away by by Richie's bike.
Yeah.
So that's where I do my best work. You're coming to me because you like what you see, and you like what I've done, and you like the craftsmanship and whatnot. You need to trust me, and I will give you more than you pay for and more than you can expect.
Nice. Very cool. I want to back up just a bit, because you're doing a build now, which is one of the first, I understand, of a bike in titanium. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you about working in titanium. What are the challenges that you face working in that metal?
The challenges, well, when you are talking about shaping titanium is extremely precise and meticulous. You're usually working with a material that is half the thickness. So typically, like a body panel would be in aluminum, it would be a 16th, or what the decimal measurement would be 0.063. Now with titanium, you're talking about 0.03, so it's half the thickness. So all of your shapes and your highs and lows have to be even more precise, especially if you're going to leave the bike raw. So that's one difficulty with it. And also the difficulty is when you are shaping panels, you're talking about sculpture, usually you're only looking at it from the outside. But when you're talking about welding titanium, you also have to have access to the backside of the panel or the weld joint to purge it with argon so you have a weld that has integrity. So you need to, you're almost designing and sculpting on multiple planes at that point.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And having been in the vintage racing world, there's plenty of old vintage race cars that use titanium. Mostly they were wheels and sometimes frames that were unique in the builds. And I'm not a welder, but having worked around people that worked on cars and being in their shops talking about titanium, definitely some unique challenges that come with it. And then you add the complexities of old titanium on an old car and making that work. But it makes sense because of the lightness and the strength that titanium brings. But that build, when will that build be done? Do you have an end date on that build?
That build will be done in the next month or so.
Okay, cool. Well, it looks like it's going to be another spectacular.
Maybe 2 months.
Maybe 2 months. Yeah, I won't push you on that a little bit. Gotta let the artist spend his time. One of the things I love to talk about with my guests are special vehicles in their life. Is there one specific vehicle when you look back in your life? Now, this could be a vehicle that you had, or I know it's hard to pick one, and I'm not going to force you to do this. One build that you've done that's really special for you?
The build that's really special for me is the first one that I made. The Revelation is what I called it.
And why was that?
Yeah, it was the first. It was a discovery of a gifting that was inside me that I had no idea that I possessed. It was an amazing experience as far as knowing that I could do what I set my mind to do. And also, the first time that I rode it, after it was complete, I took it, we'll say it's an undisclosed location in Mexico.
Okay.
I took it there and I ran this thing up to 153 miles an hour. And in that moment, I didn't think much about it until I got back to my facility. And, you know, I'm a 24-year-old kid. I have no formal education as far as engineering or design or anything like that. And I was, you know, just sitting there looking at the bike and it hit me that I just went 150 miles an hour on something that I created with not much more than just regular hand tools and, you know, basic welding equipment.
Right.
At the time I had minimal tooling to build bikes. And
wow.
I went 150 and I lived to tell the tale and it did it flawlessly. And that's why in the moment I didn't really consider what I was doing because it just did it so flawlessly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why that build was so special to me.
Well, no kidding. And you think of the engineering, because when you start hitting speeds over 100, 120, and then they just go up exponentially past that, vibrations, unsteadiness, there's so many things that can start to happen and go wrong very, very, very fast. So, wow, that's very cool. I love it. Revelation, what a great name, too. These names for the bikes, how do they come to you?
I can't tell you how they do that. They just do.
Yeah.
They just do. There's really not a thought to it.
Yeah, divine intervention maybe is a piece of that. Yeah, very cool. So I always ask my guests this question. I like to be a bit of a car, in your case, motorcycle psychologist, and crawl into your mind a little bit, which is definitely a very interesting place to go. If you were reincarnated, excuse the pun, but we'll say bikinated, that is, if you were manifest as a motorcycle, what kind of motorcycle would you be? But I'm more interested in the why.
I would be what I create. I would be a Ransom bike. Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense to me.
But I would say the more interesting answer in my mind would, what vehicle, what car would I be?
Okay. Well, we go down the car path. We're cars. Yeah. How about cars?
So it's a funny thing. You know, me and my wife were talking about this. It's a funny thing because she said she knew exactly what I was going to say.
Really?
Okay. I would be a 1999 Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, okay.
Which is commonly called the XJ.
Okay.
I've owned a few, and the reason I say that is it's one of the most underrated off-road vehicles of all time. You can beat it to death. You can, you know, throw anything at it. It's so capable, and people don't even know it's there. It's like this diamond in the dirt that, you know, you can just walk by and not realize the potential of it. And you just can't kill it. You can't stop it. And that's the philosophy that I have with life. There's nothing that the world or the universe can throw at me that's going to stop me or slow me down. I'm just going to keep pushing through.
Ah, nice way you answered that. You know, and that vehicle to me is going to become one of those, I think, an iconic vehicle in the case of what we're seeing now with the Bronco from the 60s.
Yeah.
The XJ or the X5. Was it the X5? CJ5. For the Chevys, you know.
CJ5,
yeah. Yeah, I should know that because I drove one of those all the way to the tip of Baja when I was 16 years old. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had some fun. We camped on beaches and surfed, and yeah, that was pretty cool. But I think that's going to be one of those vehicles for a certain generation that looked up to those when they were a kid, and now they're going to become, well, they are attainable, but then I think people are going to reimagine those a lot, like Singer Porsches are reimagined, or a lot of the cars being built now that are taking those old cars back from our youth and making them new and better, like what Jonathan Ward does with Icon, those kinds of builds.
Yeah,
is pretty spectacular. Love it. How about a great book you could share with us?
There's so many. I would say off the top of my head, first one is the Bible.
Of course.
The next one would be Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and probably The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale.
Ah, awesome. All great recommendations here. I love it. So before I let you go today, we're going to go on the ultimate drive or ride. You can make a choice here, whether we're driving a car, riding a bike. I'm going to put you on anything. It doesn't matter. I'm going to pay for it. So we'll move your bikes aside, if I may, here today, and have you think about something else in the world. I'll park it in your garage. You can take it for a ride or drive, and you can take anybody with you, including somebody from the past, which opens up some very interesting conversation options here. So what does that ultimate journey look like for you?
Yeah, you're making me dig deep on this one.
Well, of course. So otherwise, we'd be boring people today, Ransom. But you're far from boring, so I got to push you a little harder.
That would be a cherry red 1984 Corvette.
Okay. And why is that?
That would be because my father had one. Oh, and he passed away in 1987. I was just 7 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just remember I was just so enthralled with that car.
Yeah. Wow. And would you take your dad if I could make that happen?
I would take my dad for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine losing a parent at that age. I mean, that's had to be devastating and life reforming for you. I'm so sorry that happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But what a wonderful thought to go for a ride with your dad in that Corvette. And I have no doubt, Ransom, he is smiling down from heaven on what you're doing. And the creativity in your mind. Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Where would you go on a drive with your dad? Where in the world? Anywhere in the world.
Oh, man, that would be the back roads.
The back
roads around where I live.
Yeah.
For sure. I would be showing him what it could actually do.
Ah, there you go.
that car, that car was, it rode like a dump truck, but man, did it handle. You know, at that particular point in time, I think it had a higher skid pad acceleration than the Porsche and the Ferraris at that time, I think.
Pretty amazing how Corvette has evolved. It's one of those cars like the Porsche 911, like the Mustang, that just keeps evolving. And I have to ask you as a designer, you know, obviously that era was the C4, I believe. Is that right? C4?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so what's your impression of what Corvette has done with the new C8 right now? What do you think about that car?
I think it's an amazing piece of engineering. I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. I call it the Ferrari of the Corvettes, because when I look at it and I've seen them parked, and I mean that in the highest acclaim, I have to look twice and go, wait, is that a Ferrari? And not to think that they copied it, because they didn't. But when you look at how bold that move was, it's much like the Ford GT and what they did back in 07, 08. And even the new Ford GT, I go, holy cow, that is a bold move. So,
very cool.
I thought that you would like that. Ransom, I could talk to you forever, and I can't thank you enough for taking us on this very creative journey today. This has been so much fun. Could you leave us with some parting words of inspiration or wisdom?
I think, if you're going to set out to do anything, it needs to be done with whatever your passion is. I think deep within your passion is where you're going to find your gifting and your true calling. And I think that passion will allow you to develop abilities that you didn't know you had to inconceivable levels. And that passion will also push you through all of life's adversity and just propel you to the success that you seek.
There you go. Well, you're the epitome of that, the antithesis of taking passion to a whole new level. I'm really, really grateful we got to talk today, and I want to do a shout out. Thank you to Allison Rose at 48 West Agency for putting us together today. She made this happen. So Allison, thank you very much. Ransom, how can people learn more about you and follow along with you?
They can go to my website at wrobertransom.com.
There you go. And I assume you also have social media, Instagram page?
Yes, I have an Instagram page. It's at the King's Ransom.
At the King's Ransom.
And great. I also have Facebook as well.
All right, cool. I'll put links to those on Ransom's show notes page. And again, for you listeners, I encourage you, even if you don't think you're into motorcycles, you will be after you visit Ransom's website, because these things are just, there's no adjective to describe it properly, but they're beautiful. They're awesome, spectacular. You got me fired up, my friend. Ransom, thank you for being so generous today with your time and sharing some deep reflections on what you do. I hope we get to talk again someday. Until then, I'll see you down the road.
Thanks. It was great to be a part of it.
This was a lot of fun. Have you looked under your hood recently? The average car today has more than 70 computers and 100 million lines of code. Today and tomorrow, being a professional technician requires an understanding of technology, computers, and electrical systems that are highly advanced and very complex. Cars Yeah is honored to support TechForce Foundation as our charity of choice. Their efforts to help young people pursue a technical education and a fulfilling career as automotive techs is the key to an inspired life. Through scholarships, grants, and good old-fashioned hands-on experiences with vehicles, TechForce and Cars Yeah are working together to connect young people with viable careers. Join us and learn more by visiting techforce.org today.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's ride here at Cars Yeah. Drive on over to carsyeah.com to find show notes and inspiring automotive fun. Download your free copy of Filler Up, a fun book filled with gorgeous photographs of fuel filler fun, including quotes from more inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Download your copy today, and we'll see you next time on Cars Yeah!